Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Straightens her out. He heals her from her infirmity. He lays his hands on her and she's healed and she glorifies God. And this event, this healing, provokes this response from the ruler of the synagogue, the rabbi. And he responds in a couple of ways. First of all, he's upset because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. But he doesn't speak to Jesus. He speaks to all the people there. He doesn't address Christ directly. He doesn't want to confront the one that he's actually rebuking. He speaks to all the people that are there. And he says, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and then therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. So he's sort of castigating the people that are there, even though they hadn't done anything, and he refuses to address Christ, who is actually the one who, according to his definitions, had broken the Sabbath. But the Lord answers him with this title that he often used for the rabbis and the scribes and the Pharisees. He calls him a hypocrite. And then he rebukes him for his misinterpretation of the law. He says, you hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water? In other words, there is necessary work that must be done regardless of what day it is. We kind of miss that nowadays. We can take one day and take the whole day off and do nothing, and the world doesn't fall apart. You know, but if you live in an agricultural society, you know, if you have to milk a cow, for example, you've got to do that every day, 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever time. It doesn't matter if it's Sunday or the Sabbath day or what, it's got to be done. You know, animals need to have water. They need to have food. Once we've taken that duty upon ourselves to domesticate and care for them, that task has to always be done. And it doesn't matter if it's the Sabbath day. It doesn't matter if it's the Lord's day. It's got to be taken care of. A lot of you have pets, you know, dogs or cats or whatever. I'm sure you feed them on Sundays. You don't avoid feeding your animals just because it's a Sunday. This is essentially what the Lord is saying to this rabbi. He calls him a hypocrite. He says, there is necessary work that must be done on the Sabbath. There is work that is proper and right to do on the Sabbath. And he says, if the law allows you to lead away your livestock to the watering hole on the Sabbath day, then does it not also allow this woman who is a daughter of Abraham to be freed from this demonic assault that she's been suffering under for 18 years? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his interpretation of the law, which runs contrary to the interpretation that's provided by the rabbis. But the foundation of that argument that the Lord makes is he considers the rabbi's interpretation of the law to be hypocritical. That's how he rebukes him, first of all. You hypocrite. You hypocrite. We use this word sometimes even. Usually not, you know, we don't usually refer to ourselves with that word. We usually refer to somebody that we don't like with that word. What does it mean to be a hypocrite? A hypocrite is someone who pretends, we could say, in a very sort of fun, sort of basic, simplified way. A hypocrite is someone who pretends to be good when they're really not. You know, there's a saying I heard from one of my professors in college. I can't remember who it's attributed to, but he said that hypocrisy is the tribute vice pays virtue. In other words, vice or passions or evil knows that it's evil and understands that it has to pretend like it's good. And so the tribute that it pays is pretending that it's good. Hypocrisy is the tribute that vice pays virtue. So the Lord rebukes this man for being a hypocrite. Wherein lies his hypocrisy? His hypocrisy is that he rebukes the one who is actually not breaking the Sabbath, but in fact is honoring the Sabbath by healing this woman. And he rebukes him by supposedly upholding the Sabbath. This is a very subtle temptation, I would say. And it's actually one that we should all be on our guard against, hypocrisy. Because this is, in fact, something that we do a great deal. We pretend to be good when we're not. We actually, oftentimes, will support our misinterpretations of the Sabbath, if you will. We'll support our evil acts or our evil thoughts or our evil words. We'll support them with some kind of interpretation of the scriptures where we can justify ourselves. And by doing that, we kind of assuage our conscience and make ourselves feel like we're okay when in fact we're really not. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God we're in the Orthodox Church. Because what the Church gives us to heal us from our hypocrisy is the mystery of confession. Because what do we do when we come to confession? What are we doing when we're coming to confession? Yes, we have to humble ourselves. Yes, we have to list off the various sins that we have committed. Yes, we have to repent of them and desire to not do them again. But sort of behind all of those things is we have to come to a point where we see ourselves as we really are. In other words, we have to strip away our own hypocrisy in order to confess with a good heart. We have to strip it away. We have to stop pretending to be good when we're not. We have to stop pretending that, you know, whenever I got onto my wife about that thing the other day, I was, you know, just satisfying my own rage and I wasn't really trying to give her any kind of a benefit. We have to strip away our justifications, strip away our hypocrisy, and actually present ourselves to God as we really are. This is what humility is, by the way. Humility doesn't mean always sort of running ourselves into the ground and talking about how horrible we are and what a wretched man I am and all this kind of thing. Humility essentially means to see myself as I am. Because if I see myself as I am, in relation to God as He is, then humility is the proper response. To be humble. But in order to get to that point, we have to strip all the hypocrisy away. We have to strip all that away. And so we come to confession, and what we desire in confession, above and beyond anything else, is that we actually can see ourselves as we are. We can actually know ourselves, which is a wonderful spiritual gift, to know ourselves. The reason I say all that is because it seems like when you read the Gospels, this is one instance of it, where the Lord responds to this rabbi as a hypocrite. But that title is attributed to, by Christ, to the various religious leaders of the Jews over and over and over again. And there's a long passage where he says, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you lay heavy burdens on people that they can't bear. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Woe unto you. If you read that litany, I can't recall it from memory right now, but the refrain is woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. In fact, if you look at the Gospels, who was it that responded to Christ? Who was it that was able to be freed from their sins? Who was it that was able to be reunited with God through Christ? People that did things that we would consider much worse than hypocrisy. Murderers, robbers, adulterers, harlots. All these people that we would look at sort of down our noses at. Oh, that so-and-so is a lost cause. But they all responded to Christ. They all drew near to Him. They were all redeemed by Him. And the hypocrites were unable to do that. This is why it is so important that we see our own hypocrisy. That we see our own self-justification, that we see our own desire to make ourselves out to be better than we are, and to confess it. Because we have to strip all of that away if we're going to draw near to Christ. We can come to Christ, we can come to confession, and we can confess all of those other things that I listed off. And those can be forgiven. But hypocrisy and self-justification utterly cuts us off from the grace of God. It forces us to live in a world that is not real, because it's a world of our own imagining. And God does not live in unreality. God is here in reality. And He relates to us as we really are, not as we wish we were or who we pretend to be. As we really are. So the gospel, in this case, is here to strip us of our hypocrisy, to strip us of our self-justification, and to give us what is most precious, which is self-knowledge. And with self-knowledge, to give us a good confession. And with those together, to really draw near to Christ, to draw near to Him, to be really who we are, and to be filled with His life. This is the goal. This is the spiritual life. This is what our task is in the church. To be deprived of our hypocrisy, so that we can be who we are, and as we really are, to draw near to Christ, to be redeemed from our sins, to be forgiven Him, and to live with Him for all eternity in His heavenly kingdom. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship in the ages of ages. Amen.